The words for meditation this day are what Ella read to you there, but also these words of our Lord from Matthew 25. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as we come again to these last 3 weeks of this year of our Lord, 2017, of the church, Lord, we pray that you would keep us ever mindful that the end times are always here. The end times are always here for someone. And Lord, the end times are here for us. Lord, help us as we hear the words that you give to your disciples during the end of your ministry as you turn to the cross. Lord, may they be words of encouragement for us, even though they don't sound like that when we first read them. Lord, may they be words of encouragement for us, for we are the wise, not the foolish. Lord, help us to understand your word and your promise. Help us understand what you mean by being watchful and knowing the importance of time. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you heard the saying, ready, set, go? Isn't that what we normally think of when we hear ready, set? The next thing we expect to do is go. And yet, it's kind of funny because today we're going to talk about the fact that the early church, they were ready, they were set, and they went. They were ready, set, go, right? From the time of Pentecost till, and then the Acts 2 church, and then the Acts 4 church, and then the Acts 8 church, which was the diaspora that went out after Stephen was killed and went out and Saul persecuted them, remember? They were ready, set, go. They knew that the power of the Holy Spirit, they were out there on the cutting edge. They were seeing signs and wonders. They were experiencing God's power. They were ready, set, go. And yet, it's interesting because what happened to the early church was that they were always thinking in their minds that the Lord was going to return soon, right? They heard the word that was given to them. They heard the word that was told them. They understood what the word from Matthew 16:28. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They believed that that meant that they would not experience death before Jesus came back. When they saw him ascend on the Mount of Ascension, they thought they were going to see him again. John 21:20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? He was trying to evade the Lord's questions, by the way. He was trying to be evasive, you know. That happens among children sometimes. And so Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? See how the idea that the Lord was going to return in their lifetimes came to be? And that's what happened when they were ready, set, go. And things were happening. The Lord's kingdom was advancing. They were, even at the time of Stephen's death, when they're sent out, when they start to disperse from Jerusalem, the kingdom was still advancing. Signs and wonders were happening. Paul was out with Timothy and Titus and Silas. They were out on their missionary journeys. Things were happening. And then this thing happened called time. Time happened. The disciples started to pass away. And I don't have time today to go in all the interesting ways that the Lord took that or allowed them to be taken, right? It's kind of scary when you hear about how they left this life. But as they started to depart this life, people started to wonder. They started to ask the question, what's happening? I thought the Lord was going to return. But it's ready, set, go. But now it feels like it's ready, set, stop. Or even worse, it's ready, set, wait. Doesn't that guy look in pain there? Ready, set, he's ready. And it's wait. Yeah, looks like a bulldog. Ready, set, wait. Now you might wonder, well, how can people get like that? Well, when I was in Bible school, there was a book that was really popular called The Late Great Planet Earth. How many of you remember that book? Yeah. And I'll never forget, because I went back to the Bible school for my, I don't even want to say what year that, homecoming it was. It was really interesting because someone was there and he was not very happy, and he's not really even a believer anymore. He kind of very lukewarm, and he was one of the greatest, most excited, most zealous for the whole idea that this was the end times. And the biggest thing for him was when the 12 nations became the European Union, and there were 12 stars on the flag. I don't know if you remember that. That's a while back now. And it was like that was the Antichrist was coming. And he was so adamant, and he was so zealous, and he was so on fire for the fact that this was the end times. You need to get ready. The rapture's coming. He also believed in the rapture, which I don't think is biblical. But anyways, he was excited, and as time has passed, as he's gotten older, as things have not changed, as the Iron Curtain or the Soviet Union, the bloc countries have disappeared, all these things that he believed have been rocked to the core, and he's struggling, even to the point, I would say, of losing hope, because it's not what he thought it was going to be. How many of us come to the Bible with our own preconceived ideas, and when it doesn't happen, we get kind of disillusioned? Any of us have those days? Yeah. And the end time stuff, brothers and sisters, the end time stuff is one of those things that continues to plague the church, because Jesus has a lot to say about the end times, doesn't he? He's trying to prepare his disciples. And that's why he tells a story about the virgins. He says five were foolish and five were wise, because they were there to welcome the bridegroom and his bride, to participate in the wedding, and to celebrate this wonderful feast that was going to be available to them. But they had to wait. And in fairness to the five foolish ones, these never went to the point of being at midnight. For the Hebrew people, dinner is at 6. Okay? Dinner is at 6. When the sun goes down, that's when you eat. And you go to bed shortly thereafter. Okay? To have the bridegroom show up at midnight would be very unusual. Very unusual. So don't be so hard on those five foolish virgins, okay? Because their torches had enough oil to get them to 6 or maybe even 7. But what happened was they hear the bridegroom's coming, and it's almost, Jesus says, it's midnight. All those people that are around him are going, huh? I wonder what happened there. Because that's very unusual. And yet they were still called foolish because they didn't have enough to go past midnight. And that's why it's so important to hear those words, because Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching them, and we're going to hear it in the next 3 weeks, about how to manage their time, how to manage their talents, and how to manage their treasures so that they are always on the cutting edge of reaching people for Jesus, because the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. We heard this, right? This is the same passage as a year is like a day is like a year. Right. A year is like 1,000, or yeah, whatever. You said it. But what he says right after that, he says, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, but he wants no one to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. So he is waiting because he doesn't want to sail the boat before everyone is there. Right? And so it is for us the ready, set, wait. Or even worse, the ready, set, watch. Right? Because we just are built, we're designed, the Lord has given us his great commission. We want to get the ready, set, go. And so what even makes it more difficult for us as Christians is, it's ready, set, go, but also ready, set, wait. Because there's certain things he's telling us, go. Other things he's saying, wait. So the people in Thessalonica, and this is just a history of Thessalonica. Thessalonica was founded in 315 B.C. by the Macedonian king, Cassander. And the city was named after his wife, Thessalonike. And we recognize that at the time that Paul goes there, it's become part of the Roman Republic. And it's a very important city in the district that is in Greece. This is around the Aegean Sea, and this is on the Greek side. You see Apollonia there, and this is the Greek side of the sea. It's across from Turkey there, and this is an important center. And it's very important. It's got a port. It's very important to the culture at the time and then to that district. And so on the second missionary journey, as part of a second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul visits Thessalonica with Timothy and Silas. He visits one of the chief Jewish synagogues in the area, and for three consecutive Sabbaths explains why Jesus is the Old Testament prophesied Savior. Although many believe what he says, certain Jews, envious of the gospel's success, form a mob and start a riot. The riotous crowd go to the house of Jason, where Paul was staying, seeking him and Silas. When they are not found, the crowd drags Jason and some brethren to the local civil magistrate and accuses them of wrongdoing. In a short time, however, Jason and the brethren are let go. So we can see this in Acts 17. I don't have time to go through it, but I would encourage you to read it again because it is interesting that St. Paul goes to the synagogue and then he goes to the, then he tries to share it with the Greeks, and that's when he kind of gets in trouble. And we see them basically letting Jason go, and then Paul and Silas are sent by the brethren out of that city to Berea. And we hear in the Bible that Berea was a more noble character. Why? Why was Berea of more noble character? Pardon me? Yeah, they just didn't believe in the gospel because it was having success. They believed in it because it lined up with Scripture. They are said they have more noble character because they just didn't believe what Paul said, but they went and they studied their scriptures to make sure that what he said was accurate. Paul wrote from the city of Corinth his first letter to the church residing in Thessalonica in 50 AD. He wrote the second letter in the area in 51 AD. These two epistles are the first ones written by the apostle that are included in the New Testament. It is also interesting to note the prevalence of Gentiles in the city was such that Paul's letters do not use any quotations from the Old Testament. These are the oldest letters that we have, and yet they don't use any quotations from the Old Testament. Why these are important is because people at this time are starting to question and lose hope. And what I want to share with you today as we end this church year is, as we come to the end of this church year, is that we should listen to the words that Paul says, because he's writing to these people who are starting to lose hope because people are dying out, the apostles are dying out, and starting to ask, you know, is this really true? Is this really true? Kind of like the people who were following the end times prophecies that I mentioned in the 80s, and now things have entirely changed. The world has entirely changed, and they're asking themselves, were we misinformed? Did Jesus not tell us the truth? How many of us know people who are disillusioned, that have grown cold? And so this is what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, and this is what I want us to leave with today, because this will help us to understand that even though we're told to get ready, set, go, we also, in certain aspects, are called to wait and to watch, and that we should not lose hope because of this. But this is what he says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Why do we know these people have passed on or are dead? Because he uses the word grieve, right? Not just people who have fallen asleep, like that are just napping. No, these are people who have fallen asleep because he tells us that we should not grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so that through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word, or you could translate it in Greek, the word from the Lord, that we are alive who are, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And I want you to hear these words very carefully, because as you manage your time and as you feel like time is getting lengthy and you're wondering, Lord, why don't you come back? There are many times in my life when I see what's happening in the world and I see what my grandchildren are going to face in this world and when I see what's going on around the world, I ask, Lord, why don't you just come back and take us home and give us what we deserve? Then I remember what we deserve and I say, well, maybe not what we deserve, but what you promised, right? But listen to what he says. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Isn't that awesome? And why does he say this? Because what was happening, and this is we know from church history, what was happening was people were not only getting disillusioned, but they were starting to say things like, maybe we missed something. Maybe we missed something. Maybe something happened and we missed it. And you say, well, how can that possibly be? Well, I'm here to tell you there are people that will come knocking at your door who believe this. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. They come knocking at your door and they will tell you that Christ came back in 1914 and in 1917 and in 1918. Anyways, but they will tell you that Christ returned already and you missed it. Okay? So this is not so far-fetched. There's nothing new under the sun, and these things have been with us forever. And so he wants us to understand, he wants the people in Thessalonica to understand that we should guard our time and that we should be ready, set, go, but we should also wait and watch because we will not miss the end. That's why we don't like the Left Behind series, because in the Left Behind series, when the Lord returns, nobody hears anything except those people that disappear. That's not what it says here, right? What does he say to the people in Thessalonica? He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. How many of you have ever heard a cry of command? It's scary. You do not miss it. And then what does it say? With the voice of an... How many of you heard the voice of an archangel? Do you think you'd miss it? No. It's interesting. He doesn't use the word the voice of an angel. He uses the voice of an archangel. Again, the archangels are the commanders. And he's writing to Gentiles. He's writing to retired Roman soldiers. They would understand what a voice of command is. It's like the drill sergeant who goes out on the parade square and calls people to attention. They can project. I know that we have a few veterans here. Can you agree with me that they can project? Yes, they can project. There is no missing. No one can say, I didn't hear it, unless you have earplugs, okay? And then he goes on, if that isn't enough, if it isn't enough to hear the Lord, or to see the Lord descend with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, then he goes on to say, with the sound of the trumpet of God. Now, it would have been enough for him to say the sound of a trumpet. Because how many of you heard a trumpeter? Have you heard somebody play the trumpet? Isn't that kind of loud? Or can be? That's why they have one of those things, right? I mean, it can be loud. But imagine now if it's the trumpet of God. It'd be a little bit, you know, could get your attention, right? It'll be in tune. Right? But it'll get your attention. It'd be reveille. You'll hear it. And then it says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? We're not going to miss anything, brothers and sisters. If we're ready, set, go, and we're like, oh, ready, set, wait. Ready, set, watch. And we're frustrated. And we hear people like speaking in our ears, well, maybe you missed something. Maybe you're too busy. And it came and left. When I bought into that whole Left Behind stuff years ago, before I started to read scripture and study it and go, hey, that doesn't work. I was scared that I would be left behind. I was scared I was going to wake up in the morning and everybody that was better than me would be gone and I'd be still here. That's pretty scary, isn't it? A lot of fear there. And yet, it tells us very clearly that we will not miss this. We will continue to work each and every day to continue to use our time as a gift, continue to do what we've been called to do, continue to do what the Lord has given us to do. And as long as we live each day as if it's our last, as long as we use the gifts and the time that God has given to us, we will not miss the end. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. And then he ends it, which is so important. Therefore, what? Encourage one another with these words. See, that's why we're not the foolish virgins. We're the wise, because we know that no matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, we are going to continue to live each day as if it's our last, and trust that when it happens, we're not going to miss it. But we're going to experience this great and wonderful day of the Lord. And we will hear the command. We will see him descend. We will hear the voice of the archangel, and we will hear the trumpet of God. And that could be awesome. It's going to be amazing. May we encourage one another each and every day. Amen. All right. Let's